in awesome wonder. Consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, or take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble and there proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how
everybody. Good afternoon on this Sunday in February. Listen, we are here at the end of our 40-day fast. Can you believe that? Tomorrow is our last day. So I want to personally invite all of you guys that even if you have not been able to be on our prayer calls, but you have been doing this in one way or another with us and been listening to the programs every day, I would really like for you to be there with us in the morning for a very special time of us finishing the mission. Okay. Tomorrow morning, we are going to have Pastor with us. And I have a very special word to give you already. And then we are going to do communion and a prayer of commissioning for you to go forth. So I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited to have been on this journey with you guys. And I'm very excited to see what God is going to do on the other side of this. Now, today is a very unique day because of the Super Bowl, and we've kind of moved our schedule around so that we can monitor the situation today. So thankful to you guys for working with us and moving the time up a few hours. So thank you for, giving us grace. Now, I'm not going to do a long worship thing today or anything. We're just going to go ahead and kick it off over there with Pastor, who does have a word for you guys today. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for him, and then he is going to get started. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for speaking to Pastor this week and giving him the word of the hour, Lord. And I thank you that our spirits will be willing to receive what it is that he has to say, Lord. Anoint him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In Jesus' name, amen. I just remembered, I do want to play you guys a song before he comes on. Remember I told you that I uploaded some of my father's gospel music, so I'm going to play one of his songs. Here we go.
Consider what Jesus went through. He was mocked and made fun of. His side was pierced through. Don't be bitter. He did it for you. He's been walked on, stepped on, so but now I'm living today. Thank you, Jesus, for making the way. When you think of the Savior, how he died, consider all the pain he went through and the way that they mocked him as he hung there on the tree. Just remember, he died for you and me. He's been walked on, stepped on,
my father. That was the Carpenter family. There in Florida, the last 10 years before he died, they traveled and sang gospel music all through Florida. All right, Pastor. Hello. Hello. Hello, Pastor. Can you hear me? Testing, testing. He's probably trying to figure out how to do the unmute. Let me go over there and help him. I'm going to play another song. I'll be right back. This is my father's family as well.
Laying round my treasures in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven fully done. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world, trusting in the riches of His saving grace. Any deadly trial I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
I'm getting
Let me make sure they can hear you. Okay, we're back. Hello, Pastor.
Hello. Technical difficulty. I'm not tech savvy, so.
There you go. That's fine.
This thing totally switched to a different page, and I didn't know how to go back.
No worries.
So, anyway, first of all, I want to thank everybody for their prayers and support, especially for prayers for my restoration, you might say, my little tumble on the ice and my ribs, and they are getting better, but I'm still battling it for a while, and I wonder,
still overcoming.
Yep, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. But I also want to get, like I said, thanks to your prayers and support, and special prayers for the person, I don't know if they're on here, that bought me this really nice heating pad. I've been really using it for my back since I hurt my ribs. An old injury from back in the 80s flared up in my lower back, and when I sit in this chair too long, it's just like a big knot there, and it's there right now. So I got the heating pad on, and it really helps a lot. So praise the Lord. Well, hang on 1 minute. Let me check something. Okay, I'm back. I started out earlier in the week, and I was in Psalms, and I was reading Psalm 32, and it was taking me pretty deep in some stuff. And then about midweek, we were talking about some stuff and about what Mr. T is doing out there, and you know, with all the what's his name? Can't think of it now. His name, these tapes and everything that come out and all that, and how
Epstein files.
Yeah, you know, since the Epstein files come out and all the stuff and names of people that are coming out in it and everything, and we were talking about it, and June mentioned how our top leader in this country just totally shunned it off and like, let's just move on with things, you know, and he was casting down, you know, the fact that he was being implicated in these files. And a scripture come up to June, and she said it to me, and I just want to read that scripture quick. It's Daniel 8, verse 12. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Okay. Lord, we just thank you right now for revelation, Lord, and understanding of your word. And, you know, there's so much in prophecy that we can, you know, we can see happening now, Lord. And so we just thank you for showing us the truth of the matter of what's going on. And though we don't understand everything, we just thank you for what we do understand and can see, because your word says that your word is spirit and it is truth. And your word says that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. So Lord, we just thank you for this, your word and your spirit to lead and guide us and set us free of all the things that would come against us and will come against us in, you know, such a time as this. So we just thank you for your word. Amen. But anyway, this is the scripture that, you know, I guess I'm going to discuss, and it can, when I got digging into it, it's like, oh wow, you know, this is Daniel's prophecy, okay? And, you know, there's different things about it. And as I got into it, I'm going to, you know, go through my notes with you guys. And I'm going to share some things, what I see. And it did take kind of a different, I don't know what the words use, aspect or different meaning somewhat as I was going through it and studying it and, you know, looking up words and this and that and pondering it. And so we're going to talk about that too. All right. But this is, you know, kind of describes a powerful figure, you know, in the end times. All right. And in the times of this, you know, prophecy, you know, of things, and we're going to talk about both of those, you know, and often it's associated with the Antichrist, okay, who will cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. You know, think about that. Casting down truth to the ground. And it prospered, you know, and it practiced and prospered. So anyway, we want to talk about this. And first of all, I want to look at the word host. And a host was given him. Okay. And this host, and that's where what I'm going to say right now is going to, in the next page over here, I'm going to share with you how this host could mean to me a couple different things. And a host, you know, I believe here is, you know, it can represent spiritual wickedness against the heavenly order of things, okay? Like in a military sense, you know, an army, you know, like an army of angels, you know, God's host, the devil's host. You know, when we're looking at it spiritually, and then we're going to look at it more like physically, to where it's like, you know, a host of people, a group or whatever. So, but this host was given him. So given who? Given this powerful figure, you know, often associated with the Antichrist, you know, against what? It says the host was given him against the daily sacrifice. And we're going to talk about, you know, the daily sacrifice. You know, back then, you know, it could be like their goats, you know, their worship, you know, their sacrifices that they give to God or to their false gods, whatever. But it was against the daily sacrifice, against the, you know, regular temple worship in Jerusalem, okay? Particularly in the morning and the evenings, you know, a lamb was sacrificed, which what? It foreshadowed Christ's ultimate sacrifice, okay? And it's a removal, it's removed by the by a persecuting power. You know, this host was given him, this spiritual being, the spiritual powers was given him, this powerful figure, against the daily sacrifice. So they wanted to come against the sacrificing of the true God for their, you know, false God, if I'm making sense here. But it, you know, it's the removal by a persecuting power. You know, this powerful host of demonic host, whatever, or and this powerful figure who has this host working for him, I guess you might say. It, you know, it signifies a sensation of true worship replaced by what? Pagan practices. Are a false system representing a spiritual desolation. And there we go, that when I was writing this down and it came to me, a false system. Think about that. What are they trying to do today? You know, they're trying to save the systems, you know, of the world, when, you know, they should be talking about saving souls. And this is representing, you know, the spiritual desolation. This true worship, you know, the regular worship, you know, the ongoing rituals, which then was upsurged by what? Idolatry, you know, false gods, and oppression. Spiritually, a false religious system, false practices and doctrines that replace what? True worship. So this host that was given this powerful figure, you know, they were coming against the true worship. You know, and replacing it with a false worship. You know, in the Bible, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, you know, over and over, there's scriptures that talk about these false prophets and false Jesus and stuff. But a conflict over who or what is worshiped with a powerful force, what? The little horn. And that's Daniel 8, 9. Let's jump up. Daniel 8, 9. And out of one of them, they're talking about the horn, one of the four horns, you know, in the above verse, came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And this little horn was trampling God's people and his sanctuary. This false worship, the removal of the true continual worship, you know, leads to what? You know, when it leads to spiritual darkness, deception, and the establishment of what? Idolatrous practices. You know, worshiping man instead of the true God, or worshiping these false gods. You know, if we jump down to and that's verse 12, you know. And it's interesting because when I was doing this, it says, leads to spiritual darkness, deception, and establishment of idolatrous practice. And that establishment, it's like it prospered. This establishment is prospering, you know. If we read, you know, jump over a couple pages to Daniel 11, verse 31. Okay, whoops, I guess a couple pages. Daniel 11, verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. You know, they're polluting it with false teachers and false gods. And, you know, the sanctuary where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to be doing that. You know, and they're taking away what? The daily sacrifice to their, you know, sacrificing, you know, polluted meat. You know, back then they were giving God, you know, when really they were doing their own God, but with, you know, bad sacrifices, you might say. Okay. You know, that one, how do I want to say that? You know, we read here in Daniel 11:31. That one of the things that the Antichrist will put to an end is what? The daily sacrifices. He wants to get rid of those sacrifices to the true God. You know, Jesus spoke to his disciples of a daily sacrifice, right? A daily sacrifice that he himself had in his life. So let's turn to Luke. Chapter 9. Hold your finger on Daniel because we're going to be going back there. In Luke chapter 9, let's start with verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Soldiers of the cross, amen. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and loses himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and these are Jesus' words, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come on in his glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. You know, our daily, you know, I guess our daily sacrifice, you know, in terms of discipleship, is to take up the cross or follow, you know, practices and stuff that Jesus, you know, his teachings, his word, you know, to be, want to be more like him. Our daily sacrifice, you know, putting others first and self second. You know, it's a form of daily sacrifice. You know, our time, our words, our energy, our resources can all be given up to someone through the day. You know, throughout the day, you know, people may be asking for something. These things may seem small and not seem worthy of the word sacrifice. You know, not like Jesus. But they may make all the difference in someone's life. You don't have to worry about giving too much or maybe getting rewarded or something in return. We don't have to keep score. You know, God knows everything. You gave and he will make sure that you're getting just as much in return. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. I'll give you a minute to get there, Matthew 10. You know, and this is where Jesus chose the 12, and he talks about the mission of the 12, and he's warning about persecutions and instructions for the disciples, not peace, but the sword. But let's go to verse 40. And we're going to read the last three verses on this. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet, in a name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of righteousness man, of a righteousness man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know, this tells us that even the smallest gift we give someone is credited to us. And our own reward is not dismissed. Amen. You know, God sees all things. You know, and this is, has to be from the heart, you know, not works. Amen. You know, we need to ask the Lord to help us see the needs of others around us. And what can I do to help? This is the first place to start, you know, asking the Lord when we, you know, or looking for something, you know, how to help other people, you know, Lord, you know, every morning, you know, show us, Lord, what we can do for others. You know, and we don't know quite where to begin. So this is where we begin by, you know, praying and asking the Lord, you know. It may be to take a meal to the sick friend, a neighbor, give a compliment to a stranger, you know, in the grocery line or a post office or whatever. Even if you have to sacrifice some of our own comfort, you know, to strike up a conversation with someone, you know, we don't know. And, you know, we all have problems with that. I know I do, you know, to strike up a conversation with people. You know, we can give time in prayers to friends, coworkers. We all need prayer, don't we? I mean, there's an amen there. I know I do. And I know as a ministry, we do. We need your prayers and we greatly appreciate them, you know. And we, you know, are honored to be praying for, you know, the bride. You know, we can give time in prayers to friends, coworkers. We could buy some groceries for a nearby family. You know, it doesn't have to be a big, you know, a real big wipe us out of all our resources, you mean, our money or whatever. to be a meaningful sacrifice. We mustn't be afraid to live open-handedly, you know, to give. Because why? Because we never know the impact it may have on somebody. Amen? You know, let's turn to John. John chapter 3. Oops, gotta go this way. John chapter 3. You know, look at the greatest sacrifice ever made for us. Okay? Let's start with John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so sent his Son into the world His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Woo, there's grace. Hallelujah. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, examined. You know, we need to examine our deeds, other people's deeds, you know. But the greatest sacrifice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus' death on the cross fulfilled the need for animal sacrifices, making them obsolete. You know, and we're not going to go there, but just read Hebrews 9 and 10. And that will give you a little more explanation of that. Okay? So, let's go back to Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel 8. Whoops, went too far there. Daniel 8. You know, reading again, this host. Remember we mentioned a host was given him. And, you know, after reading this and going through some stuff, you know, could that host be a people who were supposed to be worshiping the Lord God in truth, but because of this, of a host of spiritual wickedness, you know, influenced upon them, and their rebellion, their transgression, you know, that transgression of the law, and they want to stop there for a second. You know, earlier in the week, remember I told you I was in Psalm, what was it, 32? And that word transgression is in there. And I was studying that. Well, you know, we can look at it as different things, but more or less it's sin. It's a rebellion against the law, the truth, you know, iniquity, sin. But anyway, this influence, this host of spiritual wickedness, you know, is influencing this people. All right. And so I was looking at it that way. You know, a host was given him against the daily sacrifice. So this this host, this people, this group of people, let's just say the church, you know, was given over to who? Him, the Antichrist, against the daily sacrifice. You know, the Antichrist was coming against this host of people that practiced the daily sacrifice. And I believe we can see that pretty clear today. You know, they're coming against the truth. You know, we worship in what? Spirit and truth. And they're manipulating, they're twisting their the truth for their gain. You know, and that truth was what? It was cast down to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, it's what? It. And again, looking at this more in the spiritual sense, this it, this spirit of rebellion, this transgression, let's turn to 1 Samuel. If I can find it quickly here, I lost my marker. First Samuel 15, starting with verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. You know, this rebellion, you know, spirit of witchcraft. Can I say mega? And any of you that have been following us long enough will know what I mean. That's mega is represents spiritual witchcraft, wickedness, rebellion, you know, and you can look at rebellion, transgression, Israel's apostasy, or turning away from the one true God. Or can we say the host, some of God's people who fell away, the church, such a time as this, the falling away from the daily sacrifice to what? Deception and the oppressive powers out there that are coming against the church. You know, the daily sacrifice, the perpetual worship system, you know, which lasts forever, is eternal, never ceasing, everlasting, you know, the worship of the one true God. Whew. That's what the daily sacrifice should be about. You know, and the devil and his minions, or, you know, these evil people, they don't want that. They want to be worshipped. They want to stand up there. You know, in Daniel 8, let's go back to Daniel. Daniel 8:10. And it waxed great. And who was it? The horn. You know, you have to read up a little bit about the horn. You know, it, the horn, was great. This figure, you know, this oppressive power, you might say, was great, even to the host of heaven. and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. You know, this oppressive power, this harsh, unjust power, it's burdensome. You know, the result of this succeeded in hating true worship and trampling down the truth. You know, it's highlighting a period of severe spiritual darkness and persecution. You know, think about that. You know, it can be burdensome. You know, it's oppressive when you think about it. Wow, you know, Lord, what's going to come? You know, when as, you know, we see things progressing as they are. You know, going to be severe persecution or spiritual darkness, you know. Daniel 8:13, well, let's go down. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression be desolation? To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. You know, it's talking about the spiritual emptiness, the abandonment, and excuse me, and it took me a minute to catch this. I hope I'm getting this. You know, the abandonment by God and the destruction that follows such a rebellion and idolatry. Idolatry. And let's go back. I want to read this again. And I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to that certain saint which spoke, how long shall be the vision, you know, this transgression against the daily sacrifice, this rebellion, and the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host be trodden underfoot? And to me, it's, you know, God's given them over. You know, you want to go that way, it's all on you. Let's don't keep your finger here. Let's go to Romans. And when I was, again, reading this and thinking about it, this scripture popped up in my mind. Romans 1. I remember years ago when I first read this scripture, and I thought, wow, that is powerful. Romans 1. Let's start with verse. And this is about the guilt of mankind, okay? And we're going to read down. Actually, if you read this whole chapter, Romans 1, starting with verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. They know there's a true God, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And this just come up in me. It says here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And it reminds me of this morning when I got up real early and went outside. And it was a clear night last night. It was cold and the stars were shining. And I'm like, wow. You know, only God could put all them stars up there. You know, and I've given God the glory, you know. clearly seen. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. How sad. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto a corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. You know, God gave them up. You want to do that? You don't want to honor me? So be it. You know, he poured out his spirit, I'm sure, on him, and he nudged him, hey, come back to me. But no, they wanted to do it their way. So he gave them up unto vile affections, their own passions. For even their woman did change the natural use of what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, their reward, they're going to get their reward of the error which was met, which is due them. That's going to be a sad day. And even as, and here we go, this is the scripture that when we're talking about this, the abandonment of God and the destruction that follows such rebellion as idolatry and lust of the flesh, etc., etc. The list is probably pretty long. And you know, and God, you know, hey, come on, come back. But no, their will over God's will. And so what? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, many times going back to this scripture, I'm like, you know, Lord, and I just want to pray right now, Lord, we just thank you for the truth in your knowledge, Lord, that we, you know, we hold fast to your word and truth. And, you know, we repent, Lord, when we need to, if we come against the truth. Because we don't want to be given over to a reprobate mind, Lord. You know, sanctify our minds, our hearts, Lord God. We just praise you and thank you for your word, because it's that sets us free. You know, your word, Lord, it sets us free. So I pray that everybody here listening to this, Lord, right now will be set free from whatever's coming against them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you just want to say, whoa. You know, whoa. This is terrible. I mean, we can see this happening all over, the abandonment by God. You know, it's judgment is what it is. You know, Matthew 24, we're not going to go there, but Matthew 24, Jesus warns us of this event. And not only Matthew 24, you know, there's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and well, I'm going to get into that a little later here. But what I want to do is, okay, you know, going back to Daniel. This is going to be another look at Daniel. And I just, you know, because when I was researching it and stuff, and, you know, prophecy and what, you know, we've been looking at it more spiritual wise. And in such a time as this, you might say, but Daniel 8 describes the swift rise and sudden fall of who? Alexander the Great. You know, this is what a lot of prophecy teachers are teaching. The large horn of the great. You know, Alexander, he's the large horn, you know, of the goat. You know, if you look at Daniel 8, you know, therefore the he goat was waxed very great. And when he was strong, that great horn was broken. You know, Alexander the Great, you know, he was rising to power. He was going across the land with his army, and he was, you know, just taking over. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but anyway, here it is. It's describing Alexander the Great, and the great horn was broken. That's his fall, you know. When he fell, and then it says, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. You know, the four horns, you know, it was ruled by generals, symbolizing the fragmentation of the Greek Empire into the Hellenistic kingdoms. There was four kings, four horns, that, you know, when Alexander the Great fell, these four kings stepped in, and they kind of took over his rule, and they divided it up into four kingdoms, you know. And, you know, if you do some research on that, you know, they call it the Hellenistic kingdoms. And it's after this, you know, I had to look up that word Hellenistic. I thought, what? That's a strange word. But you look it up, and it goes back to this one guy, and this Hellenistic, that was kind of his name, and whatever. It's a long study, and we're not going to go there, but out of that, they called these four kingdoms Hellenistic, and they spread toward the four winds of heaven, fulfilling prophecy after Alexander's, you know, timely death, which was in 323 BC at the age of, I think it was 32 or 33, okay? You know, that broken horn, that was Alexander's death. And then, you know, these four kings took over. You know, Alexander the Great conquered, you know, the kingdoms of Medo-Persia Empire, okay? You know, he conquered, you know, over the ram. If you go to Daniel 20, the ram, which thou sawest having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. You know, Alexander the Great overcome them. He conquered them. In essence, Daniel 8 prophesied the rise and fragmentation of the Greek Empire under Alexander and his successors. You know, it's a key event, you know, in the ancient history, you know, and this is kind of taking you there. You know, the goat represents the kingdom of Greece under Alexander the Great, 821, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, if I'm pronouncing that right, and the great horn is between his eyes is the first king. You know, each general, you know, that's the four horns, took control of different regions, like I would say, you know, spreading out in all directions, you know. You know, it was the dispersion of highlights, this dispersion, I'm saying, of, you know, what the four kings are doing. It was under the influence of the Hellenistic, you know, ancient world, you know, across, and that, That word literally means to imitate Greeks. All right? Thus was the period when Greek culture and the Near East customs were combined. You know, these four kings went out and they took over other areas, cultures and stuff, and it was combined. And you know, it's, you just have to look up that word and do a study, and it's like, oh man, this is, and it's like Greek mythology. Okay, they had all these different gods, a god for this and a god for that, you know, and they worshiped the idolatrous, you know, like Daniel 8 says, you know, these idolatry. And when I was thinking about this, you know, I go, wow, ain't that Trump's religion? You know, that's his religion, you know, the Greek world. He's very mythological, you know. Again, do a search on this here, you know, about his mythological statues and pictures and all that stuff, you know, in the Trump Towers. And I did that, and I'm like, wow. I mean, here's Trump to the T, you know. And this Hellenism practice, whatever, and when these kings went out across the land and they conquered all these things, it was mixed with paganism, you know, the worship of all these different gods, you know, the god of light, Apollo, you know, and there's a whole list of gods, you know, I didn't write them all down, but anyway, it was pretty interesting just to look into that and see it, you know, and how that influence, you know, across the ancient world is still out there today. I mean, you can see it. It's plain as day if you got eyes to see, you know. And this, you know, this transcendent earthly power, you know, this, you know, this not lasting long power, you know, it's the breaking of the large horn at the height of its power. You know, this is what is represented by this Alexander the Great. Look, and he's rising to the power, and he's, wow, you know, and boom, just like that. His horn was broken. He was, you know, overtaken. It's the height of its power. And that serves as a reminder that earthly power is temporary and subject to God's sovereign will. Amen. You know, God's sovereignty in history, the division of the Greek Empire into the four parts demonstrate God's control over the rise and fall of kingdoms. You know, not just one person, but of kingdoms, fulfilling his what? Prophetic word right here. You know, and it's the preparation for change. You know, just as the Greek Empire transitioned after Alexander the Great's death, you know, believers should be prepared and welcome, I might say, for change in our own lives and trusting in God's plan. And when I was thinking about this and writing this down, I thought, you know, and I've shared this with you before, change was one of my first prayers when I got born again and found myself laying at the altar on my face crying, Lord, all I want is change. The truth, because I knew that scripture, it's the spirit, it's the, you know, truth is what sets us free. So we got to welcome change in our lives. You know, we got to trust in God's plan for our lives. That's why we have to seek him with all our heart. You know, and it's the importance of humility. You know, Alexander's sudden fall at the height of, you know, his powers. You know, it's a caution, you know, against what? Pride, self-reliance. You know, it should be urging believers what? To be humble before our Lord. Be humble, you know, before their God. Daniel 8:13. Let's just read that one. 8:13. Then I heard one. Okay, I guess I read that already, but let's read that again. And I heard one saint speaking to another saint, said unto the certain saint which spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? You know? Many, many times I'm, you know, pondering, thinking, man, how long is it going to be? And just imagine all the people down over the years or the centuries, whatever. Lord, when you're going to come back? You know? This transgression of desolation, or should I say rebellion that causes desolation. It refers to the act of willful rebellion against God and the establishment of what? Of a false system. It's a false system of worship that results in what? Spiritual and physical devastation, desolation, transgression of desolation of God's people in the sanctuary of them worshiping God. You know, and I want to just come up in me, take note. It's rebellion against God and the establishment, what? Of a false system. You know? And you know, all the systems of this world today have been, I believe, been taken over by this Antichrist spirit. You know, the money system, political system, medical system, educational system, the religious systems, you know, they've been taken over. And everything's merging into what? That one big beast Antichrist system. The one world order, you might say. You know, politics and religion. People don't want to talk about it. You know, I can't even tell you how many times when if I was going to go home, Mom would call me or someone would warn me, don't you be talking about politics and religion. Nobody wants to talk about it. Well, they want to be willingly ignorant of truth. And we've talked about that before and just, you know, do a study on that. It's not good. The consequences of being willingly ignorant is not good. Anyway, you know, this is a spiritual force. Given physical force or a host of people, you might say, influence, powers to bring about rebellion to a large number of souls, you might say. This transgression, you know, as a symbol for any form of idolatry, apostasy, or human-made religious systems, that what? That usurps the true work of God or Christ, you know, role leading to spiritual. It leads to what? Spiritual emptiness. This false systems. Not only to spiritual emptiness, but judgment. You know? And people don't want to talk about that, do they? these religious systems for such a time as this, again, the one world religion. And then as I say this, and I'm thinking about this, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Let's see where. Thought I had it marked out. Second Corinthians, yep, there it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But these religious systems, this is going to hit home. Not home, I should say, thank God. But another Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, are ye, if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You know, Paul here is warning of false leaders. Let's start with verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me. You know, Paul's asking him, hey, bear with me here a little bit. Bear with me a little in my folly, in my foolishness, that indeed bear with me. You know, he's saying, man, I was, you know, bear with me because, you know, where I've been. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chastised virgin in Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Wow. You know, his gospel was so simple. But, you know, so many people want to be willingly ignorant of the gospel, the simplicity that is in Christ, so that, you know, there's all these other Jesuses. If he that cometh preaches another Jesus, he's warning us. This false teacher presenting a Jesus whose message contradicts the Bible, perhaps focusing on worldly success, you know, social justice, you know, as the sole aim, or a universal salvation without repentance. Don't we see that? This other Jesus, you know, that he's talking about here, isn't the biblical Jesus, but a distorted figure, like, you know, some guru or social revolutionary, or maybe a public figure who minimalizes sin. Don't that sound like somebody we know? One of our great so-called leaders. And what's it doing? It's leading people away from genuine faith. You know, they may promote a spirit that isn't the Holy Spirit. They offer a different gospel. They offer good news that adds to or subtracts from the true gospel of salvation through faith in Christ, his atoning sacrifice, his resurrection, and his soon return. You know, they don't want to talk about that stuff, do they? You know, these deceitful workers, you know, these individuals, you know, which are described as false apostles, you know, they're masquerading as apostles of Jesus Christ. They're masking themselves as apostles of Jesus Christ, but with who? With Satan himself, appearing to be the angel of light to deceive. They're deceivers. And who's the master deceiver? Jesus. You know, they've been taken over, their minds, their souls, whatever. You know, this these false teachers or whatever. You know, it could be Jesus as a new age guru, like Buddha, or another spiritual teacher rather than the son of the Lord God Almighty. You know, this Jesus may have some political revolutionary, his primary focus is overthrowing systems rather than spiritual redemption, or should we say saving souls. This Jesus as a universal non-judgmental figure who overlooks sin and judgment, contradicting biblical warnings about sin and God's righteousness. In essence, any Jesus or teaching that deviates from the scriptural account of Jesus Christ as the one and only unique divine Son of God and Savior is considered a false Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:4. You know, Matthew 24, we've been there. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5, 23 through 24, Mark 13, 21 through these scriptures, you know, warn that many false Christs and prophets will again, you know, will appear in the last days, claiming, here is Christ, or there he is, you know, performing signs and wonders to deceive people, even the very elect, you know, urging believers to follow these false Jesus or these false prophets, but to recognize and prepare for the true Christ return. You know, 1 John 4:1-3 discusses testing the spirits, and I'm not going to go there, to discern false prophets. You know, and again, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, 2 Corinthians, 1 John, you know, and all in other scriptures, you know, warn against geographically specific sightings. You know, here and there. Oh, he's over here. No, he's over there. You know, and emphasizes that the true return of the Lord Jesus Christ, these scriptures, what will be universally visible. They're not going to be hidden or some secret place. Oh, come over here, come over there. No, when Jesus comes back, whew, the whole world's going to see him. Amen. So, you know, going back to Daniel 8, you know, very clearly these scriptures, you know, and others we have looked at, describe a time of great apostasy and abandonment, willfully turning away from the rebellion against, or turning away our rebellion against God and the true Christian faith. Boy, we can see that. You know, in the dark forces, this Antichrist figure will deceive and destroy. Just let's just go turn to Daniel 8. And let's just start reading here on verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentence shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. We're talking about this Antichrist figure. And through his policy also, he shall use craft, magic, witchcraft, to prosper in his hand. Should we say mega? And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He'll have some big peace plan, won't he? He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. This vision that Daniel had is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick. He was sick and tired of this vision. Man, he doesn't understand it, but it's not good. And he knows it. And he's sick. For certain days afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He was astonished about this vision. You know? And that's why, I named this message, The Burden of Prophecy. You know, we that can see the truth of what's going on, like Daniel, he was very burdened. You know, he was fainted. He was sick. Wow. I mean, it took him a while to overcome it. You know, after certain days. But what did he do? He rose up and he did the king's business. You know, the King Jesus, or should I say the Lord God Almighty, King, as we are seeing truly prophecy coming to pass, sometimes us, too, feel what? Faint-hearted, sick at the delusional state of the world and the church, or maybe our families, our friends, our loved ones. You know, sometimes then, we're just like, whoa, man. You know, it can overwhelm us physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know, it can leave us sick and exhausted. Yet, like Daniel, we must regain our trust, in the Lord God Almighty. And carry on, Christian soldier. Our call may be confusing, and burdensome, but we are called to faithfulness. Even in the midst of confusion, and apostasy, like what we see all around us, like Daniel, we can't fully comprehend all the deep implications of the times, showing that understanding isn't always immediate. We can't understand everything, but, slowly as time goes on, we start to put the big picture together. People don't look at the big picture. They don't know how, but like Daniel, he rose and did what? The king's business, demonstrating the importance of continuing daily responsibilities and faith while waiting for divine clarity. Pray, Lord, right now, Lord, I just pray that you would give us clarity. What you want, that the will of the Lord will be done. And to move forward in Christ. This divine revelation, Lord, though may be in part a mix of awe, fear, confusion, and the resilient duty that we have, to remain faithful. Even when the future seems overwhelming and clear, Lord, we just thank you. That, we can remain faithful. Faithful what? Like Daniel. Daniel 8:27. Soldiers of the cross. Amen.
side to side. Where you gonna run?
Where you gonna run?
Where you gonna hide? When it comes down,
when it comes down,
only you can tell. What it gonna be?
What it gonna be?
Heaven or hell? But the river runs deep,
river runs deep,
and the river is wide. How you gonna get,
how you gonna get
to the other side?
Pendulum swing,
pendulum swing, only you can tell. You gotta make a choice,
what's it gonna be,
heaven or hell?
Play that song at the end to finish out his sermon, Soldier of the Cross. Thank you so much, Pastor, because you really encouraged us here as the end time bride about the burden of prophecy.
Right.
Sometimes it is hard to deal with.
No, ma'am.
I mean, yep. The stuff that we see and the stuff that we know, it just can be such a burden. You know,
right. Yes,
so Thank you for your encouraging word. Now I'm going to pray for everybody, and then I'll stop the recording and open up the prayer line. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together today. And Lord, if there's any of the bride out there that has the heavy burden, Lord, I pray that you lift that today. Lord, heal them, Lord. Deliver them of that, to give it back to you, Lord, who carries the burden and who helps us to walk this walk. And Lord, just as you've been encouraging us on this 40-day deal, that if we will make you our God and we will trust you as our God, that you will be faithful to us. And you knew that we was going to be living in such a time as this. So you knew it all and you prepared the way, Lord. So I plead the blood of Jesus over everybody's mind today, their body, their heart. And I pray you restore to them everything the devil has stolen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.